Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 4th of July. God calls us to worship in holiness.
Holy is our God.
God calls us to lead courageously and to follow faithfully.
Mighty is our God.
God calls us to live lives of service and love.
Loving is our God.
Let us worship the Lord. Holy One, through your voice we understand who you created us to be. Through your voice we understand our calling. Through your persistent presence we find resilience. May we embrace our vulnerabilities. May we boldly claim our past, and may we find our future with determination and grace. Amen. Today's first Bible reading is Psalm 48. Psalm 48 is sometimes categorized as one of the Zion Psalms. These Psalms provide us with some insight into what the Israelites came to believe about Zion, their holy city. This Psalm, and the other hymns of Zion, may have been used during major festivals and sung to express the people's faith in Jerusalem and in God whose temple was there. The last part of the psalm is an image of a procession of people circling the city, perhaps before entering it for a special festival. Walk about Zion, go round her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may well tell of them to the next generation. The significance and beauty that are assigned to Zion are a consequence of God's presence in the city, where God's sacred temple is located. Enthroned in the temple, God rules over the world from Jerusalem, the centre of the universe as a great king. In this psalm, God is praised as a power higher than the power of kings. Within the city, God's defences are sure. In the Old Testament, Zion is often used as a metaphor for God's goodness and symbolises a place of security and safety for God's people. It is a taste of the world as it was meant to be, and someday will be. Listen to the words of Psalm 48.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great King. God is in her citadels, he has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labour. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure for ever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go round her. Count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
Let us pray. God above us, God below us, God beside us, God before us, God behind us, God within us, God beyond us. Your ways are as far beyond us as the farthest star in the heavens, yet you are nearer to us than our very breath. We seek to be powerful and strong, but your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Forgive our need to set our own course, to determine our own fate. Mould us into faithful disciples, and help us trust that we have what we need, even as you send us forth with nothing for the journey. For the sake of Christ, make us weak, that we may be strong in your Spirit. Amen. God's grace is enough. It strengthens every weakness, forgives every sin, and empowers us for the journey of faith. Rejoice, for grace sets us free to serve and to love.
Clothe us in
second Bible reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13.
Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense with him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them."
Jesus is in his hometown. He's among familiar people. Walking in roads and streets, he would have known well from his childhood. On the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue and begins to teach the congregation. Mark does not elaborate on what Jesus said to those assembled in the synagogue. In his usual fashion, he proceeds directly to the point he wants to make and doesn't waste time to give details about anything else. Mark focuses his account of what took place in the synagogue on the reaction of the members of the congregation. He draws a contrast between the obvious abilities of Jesus as a teacher and the expectations of those who knew him from when he was a boy. He tells us that many who heard him were amazed. Then, according to Mark, they begin the process of putting him in his place, as it were. "Where did this wisdom come from?" they ask. They start to list the members of his family, including his father's occupation as a carpenter. "Aren't his sisters here with us?" Mark concludes what took place with the statement, "They took offence at him." The story of Jesus' rejection in his hometown is well documented among the gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include it in their accounts of the life of Jesus. Mark deduces, "A prophet is not without honour except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." By telling about the rejection of Jesus by those who thought they knew him, the gospel writers are teaching an important truth about God's dealings with us. When God comes into our world and into our lives, our human ideas are turned upside down. Jesus, the Son of God, comes as one who makes himself vulnerable. He appears to be weak and powerless. He is rejected and considered common and ordinary. He identifies with those who know rejection only too well. Rejection is not a pleasant experience, and it leaves its scars. After the people of his hometown rejected him, Mark tells us that Jesus was unable to do any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. What Mark was implying when he said that Jesus was unable to do any miracles there is unclear. Was it because of the context? Was it the lack of belief on the part of the people? Was it the impact on Jesus at a personal level of being rejected? The truth is, we don't really know. We can only speculate. Yet, Jesus carries on regardless. He travels from village to village teaching. He calls together the 12 and sends them out 2 by 2. He gives them authority, yet commands them to go humbly in his strength. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for speaking to us through all the common scenes of life and sowing hope in unpromising places.
You are the shaft of light that greets us on a cloudy morning, the kindly darkness that swallows our sins and brings us to rest.
You are the friend who waits for us when our weary steps falter, the warmth that floods our being with a loved one's embrace.
You are the bird that draws our eyes towards the heavens, the sea where tides recede, yet always return to refresh.
You are the hope that rises after grief, like the flower that comes into bloom, the kind laughter that mocks us after we have been pompous.
You are the compassion that brings our charity out of its hiding place, the birdsong that lifts our spirits.
You are the hope that rises from the ashes, the steam that reflects the beauty we have not noticed before.
You are the peace where our hearts rest in the eye of a storm, the star in the sky when we must walk alone in the night.
We thank you, gracious God, for meeting with us in all the common scenes of life.
Receive our gratitude and praise. Help us to recognize you more often and cooperate with your Spirit more readily.
Generous God, we offer our prayers for others. May those for whom we pray be fed by your goodness and nourished by your presence.
We pray for those who are sad, lonely, uncertain, frightened, despairing, and any who feel rejected by their fellow human beings.
We pray for all people around the world in fear of violence, of war and destruction, where terror has a grip, where violence dominates. Lord, bring justice, bring peace.
We pray for those who know the harshness of natural disaster, where lives are lost in unpredictable catastrophe, where floods and drought ruin crops, where there is no prospect of a bountiful harvest. We pray for generosity and provision for all your people.
We pray for those who are of poor health. We pray for those known to us, where poor health prevents full living, where pain is a daily reality, where frailty causes bodies to falter. Lord, give healing, give comfort, give perseverance.
We trust each life to you, saving God, that each soul may find its home in your eternal love. But for those who mourn, who know any loss, give comfort, give reassurance, and give your gentle presence.
We pray for all children and young people who so often are at the heart of a story of faith that we can overlook. We trust them to your nurturing, and we pray that all those involved in the lives of young people and children will bring them to a flourishing today and tomorrow. All this we pray together with the prayers of our own hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.